You are about to enter a great adventure.
This is Starting from Gorilla.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode. I am Mikey Cash. Alongside me is Big Vito, and together we are Strutting from Gorilla. We're really happy to have everybody back as we talk about the Backlash build, and we're also going to talk a little bit about our thoughts on AEW Dynasty that just took place on Sunday. Now, before we jump into everything, I do just want to take some time and thank all of our listeners, all our subscribers, because over the last couple of weeks, we had an outpouring of love and support. And we broke that elusive triple-digit benchmark. So we wanted to thank everybody for doing that. We hope that you guys continue to appreciate what we're doing for you guys and really just what we love doing. We would be doing this regardless if there was a microphone in front of us. So we're just happy that people have taken enough interest to be able to subscribe and want to listen to the conversations that we have about wrestling. So just wanted to say thank you to everybody. And yeah, let's keep this party going.
Road to 1,000, Mikey Cash now.
You know, that's where we're going.
Yeah, you know, you go from 100, 1,000, then 10,000. That's our goals, right? You got to do it.
All right. Like Roman Reigns here. We have only just begun.
Acknowledge us.
We were. It was great.
I think a lot of it, you know, we struck gold with my kind of satire mustache. Half joking, half real investigative video.
Are you sure you that on the podcast?
Yeah, I just want everyone to know when you listen to that, it's half real, half joking. Like I kind of thought it made sense, but at the same time, it's also kind of a joke. So, what did The Rock really give Cody? I don't know. I've heard things left and right of what it could have been. So. And I always love the comment section. Thanks for everyone who commented. It made my day.
Yeah, there was a lot of fan comments and theories about what The Rock handed Cody Rhodes. Some were pretty intense, but
yeah.
it covered the whole spectrum of what that could have possibly been.
It did.
So only time will tell. We'll see where it goes.
It did.
So, Vito.
Cash.
Let's dive in.
Let's do it.
Post-mania. It's come and gone. We've been feeling good. Me personally have had a wonderful last couple of weeks. April's always a good month for Mikey Cash. It's the birthday month. Spring, you know, it's spring. It's baseball back in season. The Yankees are doing well. WrestleMania was awesome. The Rock was back. I don't know what more I could have asked for.
Yeah, the bar is really high for you right now.
Right. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm starting to come down. Right. But yeah, so Vito, we got Backlash coming up. I think it's coming up either this week, next week, in France. What do you think of the build so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's gonna be good. I think the way they've done things all together have been great. I'm a man of uniformity when things happen. I like to understand what's going on in the world of, you know, kayfabe wrestling, where you know you don't really need that. It just makes my brain tick, you know? And so I think Triple H has done a good job. I think Backlash will be good. I think they have a big bar to, you know, the problem with doing such a great WrestleMania with a great storyline is now it's like the bar is set high and it's hard to have that expectation every single time. So I don't think Backlash will be as good as WrestleMania. And please prove me wrong. But I don't think it will. But I think it'll be just fine. It's in France, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh la la.
Ooh la la, indeed. maybe they will sell croissants at the arena. So I'm with you. It's hard when you come off of such a big show like WrestleMania because it was so good and it was so well done. But I have this internal expectation that not everything is going to be like that. That's sort of its own special show that is almost kind of bigger than the other ones at this point. So I kind of leave that as its own standalone show. But as far as Backlash goes, I think they're going to want to make an impression on an international market. So I think that they're going to do whatever they can to put on a great show. So with that in mind, looking at some of the matches that are starting to take shape, obviously AJ Styles is the new number one contender on SmackDown. So him and Cody are going to have a great match. There's a really great history there. And I'm sure people have, I didn't really know this until I was just kind of perusing on Twitter, but apparently in TNA back in 03, Dusty fought AJ Styles for the NWA title back then. So that'll be really cool history that I'm sure will get brought up at some point as they build to this pay-per-view, because that's a very unique position to find yourself in as Cody Rhodes to,
Yeah.
Especially in this day and age, to find somebody that fought your dad.
Yeah. That's definitely interesting. That'll be good. I didn't know that, or I didn't remember that. Very interesting. No, I think it'll be a good match. I mean, usually when you have a match with AJ Styles, he kind of, again, he's kind of like the Shawn Michaels, right? He elevates it to another level. But Cody can do that on his own as well. So I'm excited to see putting the two of them together, what type of match they can come up with. It'll be good. I think it'll be better than people think.
Absolutely. And then moving on to the women's division, big injury with Rhea Ripley, unfortunately, had to vacate the title just last week. Looked like they had something promising with her and Liv. I didn't know what the injury was. They showed the clip of what it was, and it was something so just like minute, like she just got like thrown into the wall. And like, I feel like every wrestler takes that bump and it seems fine. And she just happened to take it. It like did something with her shoulder. I thought it was when the chair got thrown across her head. I thought that was going to be, when I watched that clip back, I was like, oh, but she definitely has like some sort of concussion or something. She got whacked in the head with a chair. Nope. It was just a regular bump into the wall. But so that kind of sucks, because she's coming off the heels of such a big win over Becky Lynch. It's like, damn, man, that just sucks. But I didn't get to watch Raw last night. Life is busy for Mikey Cash. So I have it on DVR. I'm probably going to watch it today. But I did catch some clips that there was a battle royal to determine the new women's heavyweight champion. And our girl, our former SFG podcast guest, Becky Lynch, is once again champion. And I've seen some blowback about that particular choice, and that people thought it should be
Liv. Yeah, people were booing.
Yeah, I think though that there's a little bit of method to it. My idea that ultimately Liv should end up winning that championship. I do think that winning a championship in a battle royal is not exactly like, I don't know, it doesn't really make me feel great. Like, oh, awesome.
It doesn't give you movement.
It doesn't have the same pop that winning a one-on-one match, right? So I think that I think Liv will do it. I think it's either going to be Liv, Becky at Backlash. Maybe that's what they build to. There is a story there. We've seen it over the last couple of months. There's been some interactions between the two of them backstage. Maybe Nia gets involved in that too, and it's a triple threat. Either way, I think Liv will end up winning the title. That's my view. They'll get there. People are reactionary, so they just need to chill out. This is you see the same pattern in our fan behavior over and over again.
Yeah, I know you do. I know. But I get it. You know, people are passionate right now about the sport. Yeah. So yeah, it's good to see. You know, you can go one way, left, right, up, down, doesn't matter. It's people are passionate, and it's good to see. When they're passionate, it means they care, Mikey. And we haven't had that in a while.
I listen, I love it. I'm not saying don't be passionate. I think it's great. What I'm saying though is, pump the fucking brakes for a second and like think about the story.
Yeah.
Not just that's what happens, is we get too caught up in like every single decision that's being made, and you're not taking a step back and looking at the big picture.
Yeah. The other piece too is there were some releases of wrestlers, and I was reading about it, and I mean, I guess it's a good spin when you're having the best WrestleMania of all time and then you release people. It doesn't make any sense to me. But, they did say that the releases were more amicable with Triple H over kind of how they did it in the past, which is good. You like to hear that. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's still kind of weird. It's kind of a weird spin when you're releasing people. And what I found weird is it was a lot of like Indian wrestlers, which was also weird.
I don't know. It's a weird thing. It doesn't, I think from a PR point, probably doesn't look good for them because now a lot of them are speaking out. And so, all right, well, like, let's see what happens with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, with these releases, I don't know. I kind of take the view of like, this is kind of normal. That
I do too.
We've seen this every year. It's always after WrestleMania, there's some cuts. And it's like, all right, on one hand, maybe that WrestleMania payoff is kind of a little bit of a severance package of, you know, everybody kind of gets the payday from the show and then like, we're going to release you. So that's kind of the way I look at it. It doesn't make losing your job any easier. That sucks. That sucks. But from what I can, I even hate to give these assholes credit, but like these like wrestling journals talking about kind of what the vibe is backstage about how things go in terms of performance for people, that it's not this all or nothing, I don't know what's coming one day to the next thing like we used to be with Vince, but with Triple H there's a kind of performance evaluation, which kind of makes more sense. And you know, not for nothing, like you can't keep everybody on the roster.
No.
And if people really aren't doing anything, you're doing them a disservice because they're just sitting around backstage and doing nothing. So let them go and grow. We've seen time and time again that when this happens, it's not the end of the world for this person. It sucks to lose your job, but in today's wrestling landscape, people have a lot of opportunities to get out there and continue working on their craft and continue to evolve. And who knows who's going to be coming back around.
Yeah. It'll be funny. You know, if Tony Khan did it right, he'd bring Jinder Mahal in and be it. Hold on. I'll tell you why though. Listen to my funny story.
Yeah.
People are kind of down on Tony Khan right now. He's not getting that love, right? You bring Jinder Mahal in as a bad guy and he can build up Tony Khan's little baby face, make himself feel a little bit better.
Oh, God.
with their little Twitter beef. I think it'd be funny.
We'll get to Tony in a few minutes, but yeah, that could be something. I want to touch on real quick, Bayley. She's now the new women's champion over on SmackDown. She's got a good thing going with Tiffany Stratton. I think that's going to be a nice little feud. Bayley does a really good job of elevating the talent around her. Look at Damage Control. We look at Dakota Kai, who I'm putting a prediction out there, just going to say this. I think Dakota Kai will be a singles champion by next year's WrestleMania. I think she might. If not in a singles match, maybe against Bayley, I think Dakota Kai is going to be big.
Oh, I agree.
Just saying.
Well, the other thing I noticed too is they've brought a few wrestlers down to
NXT,
which I love when Triple H is doing that, because like who is it? The Final Testament there was showing up on there.
Yep.
That's a good idea, I think. And then also Ivar, they kind of changed his whole gimmick, which is good. I'm curious. He's such a big, agile guy. Like he should be so much better than his little warrior gimmick thing. So,
that thing was doomed from the start.
Yeah.
The Viking experience. Why would you call it that?
No, they were good when they were the War Raiders. War,
yeah, but then war, they couldn't. War. I think as soon as they got up to the main roster, they're like, we can't say war on TV. So we got to change it to something stupid. Anyway, Chad Gable, man. This dude is starting to come into his own. And we knew it. We knew it eventually it would happen. The guy was way too good to sort of be doing what he was doing. There's really an interesting shift in the approach there, because Gable was sort of part of this faction that was largely like a joke.
Yeah. And he did a good job.
Maxine. Yeah. Now I just saw recently, I did see that clip from Raw on Twitter, and it's like it's Kurt Angle. Like it's Kurt Angle. It's like, this is what it feels like. It's Kurt Angle. And this is going to be Team Gable instead of Team Angle. And I wonder if it's going to remain Alpha Academy or if it's going to be like the Creed brothers or like that kind of thing. Cause like those guys are like right up his alley, you know, wrestling backgrounds. There's nothing wrong with it. What's old is new again. And if you can do it, we see storylines repeated all the time, but if you can do it right, why not? He's got that same vibe to me. The guy can turn it on. He can be funny. He has charisma. It's just, he has Angle vibes. And I know it's not fair to compare him to Kurt Angle, because like the guy needs to sort of establish his own thing. But I just that's what I see, and but in the best way.
Yeah, me too. I agree with you. I agree with you, and he can put on a hell of a match, man.
Hell yeah, he can.
The other piece is we're back to the secret messages on.
That's right.
Yeah, I kind of like it. It's a little ode to Bray, and obviously, mm-hmm. I think it's going to be his brother. But I also think Braun Strowman and what's his name, Eric Rowan, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think he's coming back too, and they're going to do a little stable, which would be pretty great. I typically wouldn't say that, but mm-hmm. I think it's a good way to keep Bray's legacy going. And a good tribute to him, you know what I'm trying to say? The way to continue him going on. I actually think it's a good idea. I think people will love it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think if it was going to be anybody else, it probably wouldn't work. But no. The fact that it's his brother, I think people will automatically get behind it, because mm-hmm. he was already included in it during Bray's very last run with the company. So I think this will be a great move for him to sort of pay homage to him and also continue a story. This is, you're telling something completely original here. So I'd say let's do it.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think wrestling is a great way, not only just for the wrestling itself, but stories like this, like mm-hmm. when Bray Wyatt was around, it made me watch it like at a time where I didn't want to watch WWE. So mm-hmm. it keeps you, you know, outside of just the normal wrestling piece, it's always good to have something different. And I like that. I know Jim Cornette, if you were listening right now, he hates it. But I enjoy it. I enjoy the spectacle of it. And we'll see how it all plays out. And if you haven't watched the Bray Wyatt documentary, you should check that out too, Cash. It's, I know I said it before, it's good, but you'll understand, and I think you'll have more respect for his brother doing it. I really do. I think you'll, it gives it more meaning that they did that documentary and they're going to continue it forward. So, I mean, maybe, unless they swerve us in a whole different direction, which I don't think is going to happen.
Well, I did actually watch it just last week.
And
Yeah, it was, I finally had some time. I was able to sit down and watch it. It was really well done. It's such a peek into this guy's mind. And it was almost like he was too smart for his own good in some ways. Like he could see things in such a different light that made him so unique to the world of wrestling and to the fans. And they gravitated towards that because it really wasn't anything people had seen before. And he was always trying to innovate. And I think that it made him in some ways difficult to work with, right? Because it was hard to sort of contain him, which is what a lot of the interviews with other folks that worked with him said. And I was really impressed by it. I thought the whole documentary was really well done. I appreciate getting those kinds of insights into wrestlers and, you know, me what too. Goes into how they develop their characters, how they want to approach wrestling. I love that kind of stuff, because to me that's more interesting than like who's getting in a fight with who backstage. Like I really don't give a shit about that at all, because I think half the time that's story anyway, that they're just trying to get people interested in. That's my tinfoil hat theory, is that a lot of times that's kind of made up just by the boys, or,
yeah.
you know, these journalists are kind of used as a prop. They're used as a device to further stories along, because people get engaged. You click on articles and then you're like, well, I guess I'm going to watch Dynamite tonight because I want to see what jab they're going to take in their promo. You know, like that's just like it's all in an effort to get people's eyes on the product. So that's kind of the way I see it.
I agree with you 1,000%. And I thought it was really cool how they talked about, and they had the footage of when he was Husky Harris and then he kind of went on his own. And it's funny that they talked about that guy that came out, as an evangelist. I forget his name. Oh, and cause I had mentioned him or showed you a clip maybe mm-hmm. I saw it and I didn't send it to
you. Yeah.
Probably
yeah.
like a year ago. And I was like, I don't remember this guy at all. And he used him as an example along with like a movie, and like it made complete sense, and it was right up his alley, and you know, he loved it. He made it more of a theatrical piece, so it was cool. It was mm-hmm. really, really well done, and great to take a peek behind the scenes. And Dusty Rhodes was the one who of course, you know, really pushed him. Yeah. So, very cool. It was very cool. Yeah. And to see Triple H's interaction in working with him in NXT and then into the main roster when he came back after Vince left, and it was a whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, I thought it was great. And yeah. So, hey, all that to say, let's see where this goes. All these QR codes and
yeah,
let's see what happens. One last thing I want to mention, just as like a complete aside, because I know we got the draft coming up. We don't really have time to go into like who we think is going where, but I just more of like looking at the roster as a whole. I want to just put this out there for a lot of folks who are fans of Finn Balor and the Bloodline. I love the Bloodline. I like that Tama Tonga is now part of the Bloodline. If you look at the roster as it stands right now, and I've been kind of texting around about this with some folks, and people do agree, so I'm going to put it out there that the potential exists, if you look at the roster as it stands, for there to be a pretty much complete original Bullet Club reunion. You have Gallows, you have Anderson, you have Tama Tonga, you have Finn Balor, who's the original leader. There's a chance, and when I say there's a chance, look at what happened on Raw already. We already talked about that. The Judgment days are numbered, and that's already starting. I think that there is a legitimate shot that you could get some form of the Bullet Club in WWE. I think you can do it. I don't know if they can call it that. I don't know what like the legalities behind it are, but you could do it, and it could make a potential feud with like the Bloodline interesting, because they can't just feud with themselves all year. They have to like, they're going to need stories to keep things going. And having that connection with Tonga and Finn would be an interesting dynamic. So I don't know, man. I'm spitballing. There's nothing that I don't know anything, but I'm just a fan who has a weird theory.
I think the Bloodline, they're going to have Tonga and they're going to have, Jimmy Uso, and they beat up Jimmy Uso, who's gonna, I feel like, go back with Jey Uso, and then they're bringing in Fatu, right? Mm-hmm. What's his name? Joey Fatu, who actually I think is a great signing. I actually have seen him on GCW, and he's a great wrestler. I bet he joins, and then I think at some point Roman's gonna come back.
Oh, absolutely,
with the Usos and turn face.
Yeah,
and face them, and mm-hmm. then I think at some point that sets up for Roman and Rock. What I think,
because they keep talking about the Tribal Chief, but they're not actually saying who it is.
No,
even in Solo, who was chosen by Roman Reigns to be like the like part of the lineage, like he kind of chose him as his successor. I still think it's interesting that no one has come out and said who the Tribal Chief is. So there's like a pay attention to that. That's an even though like we love like swerves in wrestling, but it's okay to also know what's coming and for it to still be good.
Yep.
That's my last thing. Did you have any other thoughts on Backlash and before we get into Dynasty?
Nope.
All right. Let's shift gears here. So just this past Sunday, AEW Dynasty.
Yep.
What did you think overall?
That was fine. I think I said this to you earlier. I think to follow the WrestleMania that just happened is going to be difficult no matter who you are or what you do.
Oh, yeah.
But I watched it and watched bits and pieces of it, and it was great. Again, to me, too many matches, though. Like, it was just a lot of matches. Like
for an example, let's look at this card. Right, look at that. That's 12. That's including 0 Hour, which I did not watch. I'm sorry to the wrestlers on there, but I have no interest in that.
Yeah, but what is there? 7 title matches in this thing?
Well, everybody has a title.
Literally everyone has. I mean, has a title. And we were fighting for a fake title at one point in there too.
Yeah, there is a championship that is just its own thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I don't get it. But people are gonna think we hate AEW.
No, we don't. Listen,
when you do stupid shit, I have to say something.
Yeah, but if you go back in the lineage of AEW, you go back in the lineage of Strutting from Gorilla, we were very pro AEW. We just say it like it is. We say it how it goes. We're going to tell you if you're good, bad, or in between, and this is just how we feel. That's why this is a fan podcast. That's why we are, you know, doing this. So we're allowed to swerve around if we want.
You're right. Well, speaking of good, for me, because I'm not talking about every single match on here, but the ones that stood out to me that I thought were really, really well done, Pac and Okada really surprised me.
Yeah, that was a good match.
I know that I'm kind of late to the ball game on Okada. There's a lot of people that have been following his career for a long time. Obviously, I followed Pac when he was, I forget what the hell he even wrestled under, Neville in WWE and NXT.
Oh, yeah.
He was good then, but I mean, he's really come into his own over the last couple of years with AEW and everything he's done in between. But man, those guys put on a hell of a match. I thought it was really well done. It was a great show opener to have Okada and to showcase his skill in like a one-on-one pay-per-view match since he got into AEW. So I was really into that. I was like, wow, this is surprisingly good. I want to see more of Okada. I want to see more of that guy.
Yeah, that was a good match. I liked it too. I didn't know what to expect. I can't really figure Okada out. You know, I know he was big in Japan, but I can't figure him out. But it was a good match, so I'll give it to them. The one, you know, that I was kind of, I guess I'm not going to call it disappointed because I didn't have high expectations. But I just don't understand the Jericho Hook match. It didn't make any sense to me. And listen, you can say what you want about Jericho, and the fans were pissed. They're telling him to retire. Like, for me personally, I still have a lot of respect for Jericho because I do think he's got longevity. He's been doing this forever. I respect that he's still around. I know he's done a lot in his career. He's been in every promotion outside of TNA. Yeah. Like it's a big feat. I think the fans are just sick of him to some degree. Yeah. And I think maybe you take a break for a little bit, take a step back. I mean, and the other thing is, and I don't know if he's doing this on purpose, but he keeps changing his name. He's like the Rainmaker, the Learning Tree, the Lionheart,
it's like, it's too much reinvention for the sake of reinvention.
But I think he's doing it purposely.
Oh, like, he's definitely doing it on
purpose. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like in some weird way, he knows that people hate him and he's just kind of fucking with them.
So that's what it is.
I can kind of respect that. At the same time, I was honestly shocked at the response of the St. Louis crowd. They hated him. And I didn't really see it coming because watching all the other Dynamites leading up to this show, that wasn't really the response he was getting. It was sort of like his usual thing.
And I don't know. When we were at AEW Big Business, man, he came out. People were booing him.
I guess. It just didn't... It still just caught me off guard that the level of vitriol towards him at St. Louis. Which, maybe that speaks to how much people like Hook. So, maybe there's that.
Don't know. I think it's like 90% just the whole situation with the rumors backstage. I think he also is not the same Chris Jericho he used to be. And he's still winning. And I think that's like, I don't know. It is what it is.
Again, the rumors backstage, right?
Yeah.
This is the same. It's the same thing. So this just like, okay, well, here's another story about somebody being an asshole backstage.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
If I had a dime for every time there was a story about somebody not being an asshole, I'd have zero dime.
I know. All right. Well, let's talk about a good one. I like the Samoa Joe swerve match. I thought it was great. I'm glad they ended it with the title match. I thought it was good. I thought it was great that Swerve won. I think he's hot. I think he is a shining star for AEW. They've done it right with him. And I'm not sure Joe was the guy to hold that title. As much as I love Joe, I really have nothing against the guy. I just don't know how much he has it. And I think they're in desperate need of MJF to come back if that's what he's doing. You don't hear boo about the guy, which is just weird to me. I don't understand it, but he's like their mega star, you know, and I think he'll get some eyeballs back. But I thought that was great. Good for him. And then I also liked the ladder match between the Bucks and FTR. I just, didn't love the ending. You know, yeah. I mean, you knew Jack Perry was going to come back, whatever. But like, you ruined a great match. You got two of the better tag teams, which I'll be honest, I think the tag team division in AEW is a bit better than what you see in WWE.
Maybe, like,
I just think the top people in AEW, I think they put on better matches than some of the guys in WWE. Call it what you want.
I think tag team wrestling's always been kind of WWE's weaker point. That their focus
up and down.
Be a bit more on the they have times. Don't get me wrong. It's not like they don't have a tag division, but I agree with you more so on that. I think AEW has more of a focus on tag teams, and they do a good job of kind of building them more on a consistent basis. WWE, even with Triple H, will still kind of be this little up and down thing.
I think the key with the tag teams is you can't have too many. Like, you really only need three or four that are big, right? And you just kind of cycle between those three or four for a while, because they always put on great matches. I mean, think about it when the Dudleys and Christian and Edge and who am I missing? The Hardys, like, right? Mm-hmm. It was like the three of them, and you had like Mosh and Thrasher and like some randos thrown in there. And I think, you know, in AEW, they have a couple of really good tag teams. And if they did it right when they had the Hardys, they could have made them like these, I'm not going to call them part-time wrestlers, but they could have actually had decent matches with some of these people and built it like that, instead of having them on every week, where Jeff did a spot and basically ruined his body and they became a shell of themselves. So,
yeah, it's unfortunate, but yeah, you know how I feel about like the All In stuff and just the CM Punk, like, enough already. Like,
I know.
Just move on. This is just, there were so many other ways for them to like get Jack Perry involved in this without that fucking thing. I just don't understand how you couldn't have thought of anything else as a way to, like, you could have maybe even like done things like where you allude to it and like talk about scapegoating and that kind of thing, and then like have them come in. I mean, I don't know. So that kind of just took the wind out of it for me. I'm like, I don't care about that now. This is just like, I like the Bucks. I like FTR. I think they have really great chemistry together. We were lucky enough to watch them one time at a Dynamite back in 2022. That two out of three falls, fantastic. But this just took it out of it for me. I'm like, I don't care about this. I don't care about this. And I should care about it. And I don't. The crowd was fine. Listen, the crowd was obviously into it. They're not like going to ever shit on it. But I mean, if you're really honest with yourself, like, the story leading up to this was not good. No. It like marred it, because then everyone's like, well, why did you do this All In footage? Why did you have this? Like, you're still bringing the attention to somebody that's not even there anymore.
Yeah, I think FTR will end up going back to WWE with Triple H. I think Triple H loved them anyways. Like, remember, we saw him as the Revival when they faced. Mm-hmm. Ooh, who did they face when we watched them? It was a great match.
It was DIY.
Yeah,
it was DIY. It was Ciampa and Gargano. Yeah,
great, great match. I remember it. It was awesome. And I didn't know who the Revival was at that time. what was I going to tell you? Oh, the other match that I thought was really, really good, and it's not really a surprise, but Will Ospreay and Bryan Danielson.
Yeah,
very classic. Good match.
Absolute classic.
Very good match. I like Will Ospreay, man. I think he is another shining star for them. And I think WWE missed the boat on that one. Well, I do. I think he would be a great fit for WWE, and he's fantastic on the microphone. When we saw him at Big Business, I remember looking at you and being like, I like this guy. He's good on the mic.
He cut a great promo. He's got an energy about him. And I think, hey, you know what? There's always going to be those reports like, oh, I don't think they read the reports right on him or whatever. But like, He's doing really well for AEW.
Yeah.
I think eventually he probably will end up in WWE. That's why I'm not worried about him. Like, whatever. So there's like this right now, and he had the little jabs back and forth with Triple H. But again, dude, that didn't bother me, because that's just wrestling. You're gonna have these little jabs where you're gonna take it. You don't need to be airing backstage footage, but you can do that kind of thing. Like, oh, all right, you know, So, and he even mentioned it during the media scrum about how he wants to like move on from this or whatever, and he regrets what he did. And I'm like, yeah, because if you look at the big picture, you know, one day you could end up there. You're not going to be in AEW forever.
No, but those are the guys that AEW needs to hit on, the guys that haven't been in WWE. Yeah,
they haven't been there yet.
And then you sprinkle in a couple of the bigger,
the vets,
like you sprinkle some of those WWE guys in, but when you start just having like WWE 2.0 and it's a bunch of the guys that didn't work out in WWE, I don't see how that's going to be successful for you. Focus on the guys that you grow, that you bring in, that are special, that people are going to tune to you. Because they weren't tuning into WWE to watch, Miro or some of these other guys. Oh, Mango's going to hate me for saying that, but they weren't. I like Miro too, but he was not like this giant draw. Like, you're not going to be like, oh, I'll watch AEW tonight because Miro's on there. No. Like, but you'll be like, oh, you know what? I never saw Will Ospreay before, and he's on AEW. Oh, let's watch him. Let's watch MJF because he's tearing it up right now. I think those are the things you want to see from AEW. Yeah. Do it different. And I do like that they focus on their wrestling. Like, I will say, the one thing this pay-per-view did well, it was a lot of wrestling, wrestling, and it was good. But I just think there were too many matches. I don't think it was bad. I give it like a B. Like, I thought it has good moments and solid. Bad moments.
It's solid. Yeah,
even the Tony Storm
Thunder Rosa
match was really good.
Yeah, really well done. And they're gonna clearly that's gonna continue. That ain't over yet. With maybe Perrazzo's included in the mix, Mariah May, maybe it becomes a four way. Who the hell knows? But that's kind of nice. I like that. And it's sort of bringing in more people into that picture. And also Mercedes is going to fight Willow now. That's already set up. There's history there between the two of them from that New Japan match back in June last year where Mercedes broke her foot. And so, I mean, there's clearly a lot of positives. Like, they're heading in a good direction. It's just nothing's perfect. So, I mean, you can't have it all.
Now, if I had a suggestion, it would be get rid of one of the women's titles because it would make they don't have enough women time. They don't have enough time to give to the women, and I want them to focus more on the women. So I'd say get rid of one of the women's titles, get rid of the trios championship. It's stupid, and you'll probably knock out another title too, and you'll make it a lot better.
One of the several mid-card titles that they have.
But... I mean, what are we doing with the FTW title, like or FTR title, whatever it is?
That's basically like a hardcore championship at this point,
which is fine if you want to do it like that. That's fine. Fine. I'll take a hardcore championship if you want to have one of those matches every now and then. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what they do. But overall, I thought it was a good show. So it's hard to compare things to WrestleMania coming out off the heels of that. But I mean, there was a couple of weeks after, so I didn't feel like we were so tainted from WrestleMania that you couldn't really enjoy it. I had a good time watching it. I thought it was great. But
yeah, I thought we were good. Last thing I want to mention before we leave, I don't know if you saw, we don't talk about TNA very much, but Matt Hardy came back as Broken Matt Hardy on, which was cool. I liked it. It was a good little swerve. And you know what? That's fine. You want to come back, make a little surprise entrance. And
enjoy it. Why not?
Yeah. I just think their wrestling skills are... It's tough to watch a Matt Hardy match or a Jeff Hardy match.
Don't get me started on it, but but yeah, I'm happy for him. TNA is always I love TNA. I think they're a great company. I think they give a lot of people chances that need chances.
Agreed.
And so I think it's just right in line with how they are as a company. So I love it.
Agreed.
Any final thoughts, Vito, before we sign off?
I did read an article. Yeah, well, I did read an article that said, which is weird, and I don't know the validation of this article or anything, but it was talking about how Triple H has actually been talking with Tony Khan about getting him. Yeah, which is weird considering everything going on. So that's why I say I don't know the validation. I just happened to read it. Some internet rumors here, which I I see Triple H being able to do something like that, you know. And you got to remember, you also think Billy Gunn is in TNA, right? And Billy Gunn, Triple H, are, listen,
I'm not laughing at you. I'm just laughing.
Yeah,
at
they're buddies, and like, you know, if anyone could help bridge that gap, I mean, it would be cool to have some sort of crossover a little bit. But will they do it? I don't know. I have no idea. But I guess like the lines of communication were open. So
yeah, maybe, who knows? I don't know. I think it could be a disaster personally, but I think at least, but you know what, if the door's open, try it out. Who knows?
Yeah. I also want to know where, and I know I said one last thing, but where the hell is Kenny Omega with all of this going on?
Oh, he's injured. The diverticulitis, he's got to get surgery. I mean, he's not doing so hot.
Gotcha.
So I don't think we're going to be seeing him for a little while.
That sucks.
But that's part of all the injuries that they have. I think that's why I can't really say too much negative about AEW's kind of championship situation, because I mean, yeah, who else were you going to have? You need somebody like Joe to be the champion for a little while. He can kind of bear the torch. And now look, now you got Swerve. Hangman could probably come back in a little while. There's already a natural feud there. You got places to go. You got places to go. And you know, Adam Cole is healing up, and we'll see what happens with that. It was just a lot of bang, bang, bang injuries all at the same time. You just lost like your whole top of the card.
Yeah, so agreed.
That takes time to rebuild.
Agreed.
Anyway, what I mean, you got five more final things you want to say before we sign off? Or
no, we're good. I got it all off my chest a bit. We do have, stay tuned. We got, I know we've been talking about it for a while, but we got Vinnie Barry's been itching to come back on here. We've been itching to get him on here. We got the Black Bart book that was released a few months ago. We got early copies, and definitely want to chat with him about that. And hopefully I know we had some other fans that, some TikTok fans that wanted to come on and kind of promote their TikTok and chat about it. And maybe we'll get a Sarge review of WrestleMania at some point when we see him. I mean, he was, you know, ranting and raving about his experience at,
I know,
at WrestleMania, but you know, we got to get him back on here. He's a busy man. So
yeah, we'll get him. We'll have him write something for us. Maybe that's what we'll do.
Sarge review. On the Sarge website. Yeah.
Lord knows we haven't written anything in a long time. So
he can write it into his own narrative. That would be awesome, actually.
That'd be great. All right, Sarge, you heard it. Sarge, you're listening right now.
Special video package for him.
Yeah. All right, guys. This has been great. Really looking forward to Backlash. Looking forward to seeing what AEW does as they continue on from the fallout from Dynasty. Really glad you guys could join us today. We hope you keep joining us, keep sharing our videos, keep liking, keep subscribing. We got more stuff coming your way. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with another episode, and really looking forward to it. So until next time, keep on strutting, jabronis.